All right, if you want to follow along, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Last week I read the first six verses. I want to read chapter 1, verses 7 through 14 this morning. In whom, that's in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Amen. We have seen that there is order.
Yes, sir.
There is arrangement. Or I might say that there is structure to God's eternal purpose in the salvation of a people. This order is like a chain, so linked together in all of its various parts that it forms an unbroken, but I must add, an unbreakable,
yes,
unified whole.
Amen.
In other words, you cannot pick and choose what parts you want and what parts you don't want.
Exactly.
You cannot. Now, men may do it with their mouths, but they cannot change God's order. You cannot pick and choose what you want, and you cannot change the order or the arrangement or the structure of God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
I want to give you four things this morning, and four things, actually two of which have to do with my title. My title is The Church's Organization, Gospel Conversion.
Yes, sir.
Now, last week we looked at Paul speaking at he's an apostle by the will of God. He's writing to saints, the faithful in Christ. How did they get there?
Yeah.
And then Paul begins to ascend up into glory.
Yes, sir.
But now, Paul, without forgetting and constantly reminding us of that throne in glory, Paul now comes back down.
Yes, sir.
In verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood.
Amen.
Now, we know this is according to the eternal purpose of God, but Christ did not shed blood before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
He was as a lamb slain.
Exactly.
From the foundation of the world.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Redemption took place in time.
Yes, it did.
In time. But there is order here.
Yes, sir.
Now remember, Paul begins in the first six verses, and he actually takes the order backwards, and it takes us, ascends back up into glory. But now he has come back down. First of all, the highly favored. Remember, accepted in the Beloved.
Yes, sir.
The highly favored, the predestinated, the chosen people have, I say they have, redemption by Christ's blood.
Yeah.
Redemption When it comes to Christ's blood work on the cross, redemption is done.
Amen.
God is not redeeming a people. He has redeemed a people.
Amen.
According to the Hebrew epistle, that Jesus Christ hath obtained eternal redemption for us. It's eternal because God purposed it before the world began.
That's right.
But it actually took place in time. But notice the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
Not even, and especially not and.
Uh-huh.
Do you see it? Every word is important. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Not and. It's not two separate things He's talking about here.
Yeah.
This is one equal thing that He's talking about here.
Sir.
What has been wrought by blood, redemption. What's the effect of that? Forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
And this is according to the riches.
Yes.
The riches of His grace.
Amen.
So again I say, those highly favored, those predestinated, and that's the proper order, those chosen, have redemption by Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In other words, the legal barrier to predestination's goal and the legal barrier to election's goal, the legal barrier to these goals has been crushed by Christ. Sins have been dealt with. And what I mean by that? I said the legal barrier to predestination's goal. What is predestination's goal here in the text? Having predestinated us, what? Unto heaven? Unto eternal glory? No, that is true.
Yes, sir.
But that's not what Paul says. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons.
Amen.
By Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To Himself.
That's right.
According to the good pleasure of His will. But how could that be done toward such a people as us?
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
Now in chapter 2, He begins to deal with the foundation of that problem.
Yeah.
Dead in trespasses and in sins.
Yes, sir.
But thank God, grace always begins with God and not with us.
Amen.
He begins with redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace.
That's right.
What is election's goal? Election's goal is that we should be holy and without blame before God Almighty in love.
Amen.
But our sins were a barrier to those things.
Yes, sir.
They were a barrier to those things. They stood in opposition to those things. Predestination's goal is adoption. But what is adoption? He doesn't deal with it here, but in Galatians chapter 3 and 4, He does. Adoption is what? Where we cry.
Yes.
Where we cry.
Yeah.
Abba, Father.
Amen.
That's what adoption is. Where we cry. The spirit of adoption has been sent into our hearts. Now when does that take place? When does that take place? After that ye believed.
That's what it says.
That's what it says. That's what it says. This is the order. So first of all, I say the highly favored, the predestinated, the chosen people were not just predestinated and chosen just to go to heaven. They had to be redeemed first.
Yes, sir.
They must have forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
This is an accomplished fact.
Yes, sir.
Sin has been dealt with. But here's number two. This eternal purpose breaks forth from God into time in conscientious revelation to the redeemed, forgiven people. Now let's read it again. In whom we have redemption through His blood. That's Christ, of course.
Yes, sir.
The forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace. Wherein? That is in this very grace of forgiveness of sins and redemption by blood. Take it. Wherein? It's in that. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This is not simply God being wise and prudent, but God abounding toward us in all wisdom and prudence,
yes,
having made known. See the order?
Yes, sir.
You see the order?
Right.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, how many people has he made it known to who don't know it?
There you go. That's right.
Just think about this.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that may seem simple enough. Yet we have some people out there that believe there are those who are predestinated, chosen, redeemed, maybe even regenerated, but never ever know about it. And they just wind up in heaven. That is not the order Paul establishes,
right,
being inspired by the Spirit of God to write.
That's exactly, yes, sir.
This redemption, which brings forgiveness or brought forgiveness of sins,
yes, sir,
which is based upon the election of God the Father, the predestination of God the Father, all of this is going to what? Be made known. As a matter of fact, Paul is writing to people to whom it's already been made known. Again, in whom we have redemption, wherein? Wherein? Never forget that. Having made. Do you see that?
That's right.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Why? According to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. Why is it that way? Because God wanted it that way.
That's it.
Amen.
That's why. That's why. So the eternal purpose, as I said, breaks forth from God into time in a conscientious revelation.
Yes, sir.
What Paul is talking about here does not happen in the subconsciousness.
That's right.
Regeneration takes place in the subconsciousness, but conversion takes place in the consciousness of a person.
Yes, sir.
They are conscientious in it and to it and because of it.
Amen.
And I probably said that in the wrong order, but nevertheless, that's the truth. This eternal purpose breaks forth from God into time in conscientious revelation to the redeemed, forgiven people with final ingathering as its overall goal.
Yes.
Verse 10, that this is all done because, in order for, you might say, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, that does not mean all things will be gathered into Christ, but everything that is in Christ will be gathered in.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Amen.
In whom?
That's right.
We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Now, here's the word again. Remember now, he's come back down, but Joe, he's never going to let us forget. Go all the way back to the throne as the source of all these things.
Yes, sir.
Having, or being, same thing, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Amen.
Now Paul details this conscientious revelation.
Yeah.
You see it? There's order here.
Oh yeah.
Now Paul details this conscientious revelation. He says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ and the first who's the first person that trusted Christ? God the Father did.
Amen.
God, all of this is in him.
Oh, yeah.
The election's in him. The predestination is by Jesus Christ to himself. Redemption is by him. He's the one that brought forgiveness of sins. It is the riches of his grace.
Yes.
It's all in him. Everything's going to be finally gathered together that's in him, is it not? That we should be to the praise of his glory, God's glory, and God first trusted in Christ.
Yeah.
Now here it is. In whom ye also trusted. Now, trusted is not bad there. Yep. Actually good. It's meant there. In whom ye also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See the order?
Yes, sir.
See the order? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now here redemption is spoken of the whole thing. The whole man. The whole person.
Yes, sir.
Not just in light of forgiveness of sins.
That's right.
But here of the whole individual.
That's exactly.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And then he must quickly run back to the throne unto the praise of his glory. So there we have it. Paul detailing this conscientious revelation. So here's number three. Gospel conversion. And somebody says it doesn't mention gospel conversion. That's what it is. Because if you've ever experienced it and you read that, you say, you know, that's when God Almighty converted me.
Yeah.
Gospel conversion is no less a part of God's eternal purpose than any other part.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Now, the reason I emphasize that is because there are those who accuse us of not teaching that because we teach election and predestination. And there are those who teach election and predestination who do that. You have Aaron on both ends of the pole. Those who accuse us of not including it or saying it doesn't matter, and others who actually preach it really overall don't matter if you're one of the elect. Some may be converted by the gospel, others may not be. Or at least if they are, it's in their subconsciousness. It's never a conscientious revelation.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the way the Apostle Paul puts it here.
That's right.
Yea, I must add, it's not just no less a part of God's eternal purpose. It is just as much an integral part of God's eternal purpose as the rest of it is.
Yeah.
In other words, let me put it this way. None are predestinated. None are chosen. None are redeemed. None have forgiveness of sins who are not in time converted by the gospel.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Because predestination, election, and redemption have the very idea of gospel conversion in mind.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
They are not the end in themselves. They are, he chose us unto. Do you see it? Look at it. Look at it. Look at redemption's goal. In whom we have redemption, through his blood, we see one thing, the forgiveness of sins,
yep,
according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known. Do you see that?
Exactly.
It's not just it's made known here.
Yeah.
It's made known here.
Amen.
God abounded toward not the book,
yeah,
but us.
Exactly.
In all wisdom and prudence.
Yes, sir.
Redemption's goal is that we might see the Redeemer.
Yeah.
That we might honor the very one who redeemed us. That we might trust him.
Yeah.
That we should believe him. That's the whole goal. What is election's goal? Love for God in Christ. You see it? Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And many want to stop right there. But it says that we should be.
Amen.
You see it? We're chosen for a reason. Choosing itself is not the end goal. Choosing was for an end goal.
Yes.
And the end goal is here is that we should be holy and without blame before him. Now, who does the holiness apply to? Us.
That's right. Yeah.
Who does the without blemish apply to? Us. And it's before him. So who does the end love apply to?
Amen.
Us.
There you go.
God's people will be brought to love him.
Yes.
That's election's goal.
That's right.
Even as Paul said, you're beloved of the Lord, he told the Thessalonians, wasn't it? And why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, which is what Job preached on this morning. And what else?
Yeah.
belief of the truth, and what else? Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Predestination's goal is what? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. And remember, adoption is this. Paul said you're all, in Galatians 3:26, you're all the sons of God. That's the proper translation of that word there. In Galatians 3:26, you're all the sons of God by what?
Yeah.
How does the adoption come to pass? We're the children of God by election.
Oh yeah.
We're born of the Father by the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
But how are we adopted? How are we placed as sons? By His Spirit coming into us, whereby we cry.
Yes.
We cry conscientiously, knowingly, willingly, lovingly, Abba, Father.
Amen.
And Christ made it quite clear, you do not know God as your Father unless you know Him through the Son.
Amen.
You can't have a father without a son.
That's right.
Can you? Not in that respect. Now, you may have a father with a daughter, but in that respect, you don't, Mason, you don't have a father unless you got a son.
That's right.
And you don't approach the Father apart from the Son.
Amen.
No man knows God as Abba, Father, apart from knowing the Son.
Yes, that's right.
That's number three. Now, here's number four. In gospel conversion, there is this order. We'll see you later, Mac. Take care. In this gospel conversion, there is order. You cannot mix this order up.
That's right.
You cannot match this order as you please. Take what you want. Leave out what you want.
Yeah.
It's all established and ordained by God. And how does He put it? In whom? And notice that.
Yeah.
This is not, we don't just believe the system.
No.
We don't just believe the order.
Right.
We don't just believe the arrangement or the structure. We believe Him who is center and substance of all this order and structure.
Yes.
And arrangement. In whom ye also trusted. We trust a person, not a system.
Exactly.
But there is a system there.
Yes, sir.
There is structure. But we don't just trust the structure. We trust the person.
Amen.
A lot of people believe in the doctrines.
Oh, yeah.
But sadly, I don't think they trust the Son.
You're right.
In gospel conversion, there is this order. No one can mix or match as they please. Why? In whom ye also trusted. How? After that.
Yeah.
And not until.
Exactly.
Not until.
That's right.
In whom ye also trusted. After that. Well, I trusted before. No, you didn't.
That's right.
No, you didn't. Because that's not the way God ordained it. Therefore, it never takes place that way. You trust only after.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the good news, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that is your guarantee, your earnest. The earnest of our inheritance.
Yeah.
Our, not just His inheritance in us, but our inheritance.
That's right.
Which is the earnest of our. Well, as long as I'm God's inheritance, it don't matter to me. Then you're playing games with God. God wants us to know our inheritance.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You see it? That's the way He's ordained it. That's a part of it.
Yeah.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Joe, once I'm actually there and finally there, it'll all be over with and settled. Won't it? Won't be no wondering, I wonder if I really am one. Well, you'll know if you really are one. But even now, we're given what? An earnest.
Yes, sir.
An earnest until the redemption of the purchased possession. What? Unto the praise of His glory. The order given here. The order given here. I'll give this and then I'll do some splanifying, as I think it was Art Nguyen's Wander used to say. The order here is gospel preaching, gospel hearing,
yes,
Christ trusting,
yes,
and Spirit sealing.
Amen.
And that's the order.
That's
First of all, it is, what is it that we heard? Now, somebody said, don't say gospel preaching. You don't hear something that ain't preached, that ain't at least proclaimed in some way or another. Now, whether it's verbally, whether it's through written down somewhere, whether you're reading this Bible and reading a message preached by someone 2,000 years ago and the Spirit of God has recorded it down. But some way or another, God Almighty is going to call you to hear that gospel.
Yes, sir.
And you will not trust Christ until after you've heard that gospel.
Amen.
But that's the whole point. What I just said. Paul, why didn't he just say, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the gospel of your salvation? Amen. Wouldn't that have been just as true? Certainly it would. But the Spirit of God causes Paul to make sure that there is no doubt here as to what Paul's talking about. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Now let me explain what that is. The gospel of your salvation.
Amen.
You see that? The word of truth. The good news of your salvation. Now some ask the question. You read some of the commentaries, maybe many of the commentaries. I don't have them all, so I can't say all. But I know many of them I have. You read the commentaries. Their question is, well, is the good news of your salvation, is it the fact that God had saved us? Or is it the fact that God is saving us? Or is it the fact that God shall save us? My answer is yes. My answer is yes. Because that's the preponderant testimony of the good news of our salvation. God did save us, God is saving us, and God shall still yet save us.
Amen.
If God hadn't saved you from the beginning, you ain't going to be saved in time.
That's right.
But if God saved you from the beginning, you will be saved in time. And if God saved you in time, it means He saved you in the beginning, and in the end, it will finally come to pass. It's all a unified whole. Some people don't go partway through it and then don't make it. Some people don't not experience any part of it, but yet get to the end part.
You're right.
It all is true, and it all takes place in its proper perspective.
Yes, sir.
It is the word of truth. You see, the word of truth that God has saved a people. God is saving a people, and God shall save a people. But who is it? Here's the point we often miss. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Who's the your he's speaking to? You can go all the way back, the ones that God was pleased to bring praise and honor and glory to His grace through. The ones that God predestinated, the ones that God chose, the ones that God's blessed. That's the ones that the gospel is concerning.
Yes, sir.
Right here, Paul clearly teaches that the only people who are redeemed and have forgiveness of sins is who? The elect and the predestinated.
That's what it says.
It is the good news of, not salvation, of your salvation.
Amen.
A particular people.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
A particular people. They're saved by Christ.
Yeah.
And let me say, they're saved. They're converted, and I want to put it that way for a reason. They're converted by that gospel and that gospel only. You hear me? Now let me ask you a question. How much error is allowed before truth begins to be distorted? How much? I know that our flesh is prone to philosophize. And say, but if, or what about? But again, I ask the question, how much error is to be allowed before truth begins to cease, even begins to cease to become truth? According to John, in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, and turn to that one, because I want you to see something here. 1 John chapter 2. The Apostle John, being inspired by the Spirit of God, sums up these two verses this way. No lie is of the truth.
Amen.
But notice what he has said before.
Yeah.
Verse 20. But ye, now this is that particular people we're talking about.
Sir.
But ye have an unction from the Holy One. And what? What's that say? And know all things.
That's what it says.
You do.
Yes, sir.
You do. It's not you ought to. Yeah. It's not you might. You know all things. If the God of glory has saved you according to His order, you've experienced the truth of God in your soul.
Yes, sir.
And when you hear that truth preached, you will know that's the way God does it. That's the way He's done it for me.
Yeah.
You'll know that.
Yes, sir.
It's not you have to hear it all at once. But you will be able to detect the lie when you hear the lie. Why? Because you know. The word here, know, is much more than you've just been schooled in the truth.
Yeah.
You know it. It's talking about experiencing it. It's talking about like Adam knew his wife Eve.
Yes,
you've got an integral, intimate part in it because God Almighty's laid it on you.
Yes,
in
sir.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But ye have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. That's deep words.
Yes, sir.
That's profound language, but truth nonetheless.
Amen.
Think of it. How important is it? You remember that Paul said to the Galatians, he said, remember there were some men that come down from Jerusalem and they weren't preaching the truth. They were adding something into the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Now, wait a minute. They were adding in something into it, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
So what's that do? That makes the whole a lie. And Paul said, I didn't withstand them for a moment so that the truth of God might continue with you. But it's more than just what we say.
Yeah.
It even has to do with how we conduct ourselves. Because Paul says a little bit later, there were some Jews that came down and Peter was eating with the Gentiles. And when those Jews showed up, Peter removed himself from the Gentiles and went over here and buddied up with the Jews. As if he had had no relationship with the Gentiles before. That's what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And what did Paul say? I withstood him to the face. Because there were other people carried away with his hypocrisy.
Yes, sir.
You see it? And I withstood him to the face. Why? Because he was to be blamed.
Amen.
Why? Because no lie is of the truth.
Amen.
Any lie allowed to enter in will eventually destroy the truth altogether.
Exactly.
Altogether. Now somebody says, it has been said, well, the people at chapel don't have everything right. Well, we got concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ right. We got that right. You know why? Right here.
That's it.
No, it's right here. I know the truth.
That's right.
That's not boasting. God Almighty showed me His truth.
Oh, yeah.
In this book and by experience in my soul. I know the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that ain't boasting on me. That's boasting on Him.
Yes, sir.
But of God are ye in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, brag about God on that.
Yeah.
Brag about God. You want to boast? Boast in the Lord.
Amen.
So how much error is allowed before truth is distorted? Any error distorts the truth and must be confronted immediately and directly. We won't have that.
That's right.
Because it's a lie.
Yeah.
Right? Paul said, I withstood Peter to the face. Yeah, I withstood him to the face because he'd be blamed.
Oh, yeah.
Be blamed. You see, the gospel must be preached for the gospel to be heard.
Yes, sir.
And this gospel is said to be your salvation.
Yeah.
A particular people's salvation.
Yes,
and it's said to be the word of truth.
Amen.
Right in our text. Is that not correct?
That's what it is.
And this is why God says, God says through Paul the Apostle, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. But preaching what?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
That's what it's about.
Yes, sir.
The gospel must be preached, for the gospel must be heard. God's ordained it that way. And thank God, God's not dependent upon men to do it.
Right.
Although men do it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
God sends them to do it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And say, well, what if they rebel? Ask Jonah how long it'll last.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly.
If God Almighty sends somebody to preach the gospel because somebody's supposed to hear it, that person's going to go preach the gospel to them.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Even if in the end they sit and bellyache and complain about their gourd being withered.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You ever had your gourd withered? Some of us look like our gourd's withered. But you ever had your gourd withered? You know why God does that? So that all the excellency and the power may be of God, not of us.
Exactly.
That's why. That's why. Thirdly, trusting, that is believing. Paul puts it both ways, you could say here. Trusting or believing must follow hearing.
Yes, sir.
Right? It must follow hearing. And trusting is trusting Christ.
Yes.
In whom ye are, in whom ye also trust. I don't care if you believe in election and predestination per se, if it's not pointed you to Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
You've just heard words. In whom ye also trusted. So trusting or believing must follow hearing. And trusting is trusting Christ. It's not human merit. You don't trust human merit. Not if you've heard, really heard, the gospel. The word of truth. You don't trust human merit. You don't trust human effort. You don't trust human generation or relationships. You don't trust human will. Why? Because God says it's not human will.
Exactly.
You read it, Joe, from John 1. Romans 9 says, it's not of him that willeth.
Amen.
Scripture says positively, in the day of thy power they'll be willing.
Amen.
It says it positively. It's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, if you're hearing a message about human will, you're not hearing the gospel.
That's right.
You're not hearing the word of truth. If you've been converted to that message, you've been converted to a false gospel.
That's right.
Somebody said, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. But that leaves a lot of people out. God meant to leave a lot of people out.
Amen.
Romans 9 says, a short work will the Lord make on the earth.
Yes, sir.
There's many that's going down the Broadway, Mason. There's few that find that straight and narrow way. Why? Because God Almighty revealed it to them. It's not because they're lucky.
Exactly.
It's not because they're smart. No. It's because God Almighty hath made known unto us. May know the mystery of his will.
Amen.
You see, it's not religious zeal.
No.
I don't care how religiously zealous a person. There's a lot of people out there that are really zealous toward this book. I know a few that ask me questions constantly. What's this mean? What's that? You probably know before I even quote it where it's at in the Bible. I don't. They have for some reason think I do. Maybe I've given them that impression that I do. You know, I'm thinking. They care so much about what the Bible says, but never really seem to have it made known to them who the Bible's really talking about.
Exactly. That's it.
For instance, I had one, he started to quote to me one of the Psalms. My first question, is that a Messianic Psalm? He said, I don't think so. He didn't know. He didn't even have any idea that they're probably. Well, I don't think that's one of them. I said, well, be careful. They all might be messianic. Just watch out. Or messianic. But he said, well, but that passage is telling us to be like Jesus. I said, Jesus was God, was he not? He said, yeah. I said, is that not the lie of Satan? You will be like God?
There you go.
That's one of the first lies we swallowed up, wasn't it? And his eyes got about that big around. And you know what? He went, come back the next day, said, I looked all through the Bible. You're right. I can't find it anywhere where we're supposed to be like God. But you know what? He just went on his merry way and went, no big deal.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Don't really matter. Why? It's not been made known unto them.
Exactly.
You can't see it. They've listened. They may have even been converted, but it's been by a false gospel.
Yeah.
It's been by error.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is not morality. It's not trusting morality.
You're right.
Not trusting. It's trusting Christ only.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord. We are the circumcision which rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. If you've got confidence in anything other than Christ, then you're trusting something other than Christ.
That's it.
Right? In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Even if you've heard the preaching of the gospel, if you're trusting something else other than Christ, you haven't really heard the gospel, the word of truth. Now, after trusting comes what? Sealing. Isn't that what it says? In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the good news, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed who? Believe Christ. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
Then, and then only, does any person have the earnest. Well, I believe there's an election. I believe I'm okay because there's an election. You got it all. You missed it.
Yeah.
You missed it. There is no guarantee until after that you believe.
That's what it
said. Isn't that what this says?
Yeah.
Now, the earnest is for our benefit, not God's.
Exactly.
God knows who He chose. God knows who He predestinated. Yeah. God knows who the Son redeemed. God knows who He's forgiven. What's the earnest for? It's for our benefit.
Amen.
And somebody says, but you can't know. That's a lie. That's a lie. Then and then only does any person have the earnest. And that means the pledge of security. I do like, in modern Greek, it's actually the same word for the most part. You know what it means? It means that, and I forgot what it was, that engagement ring that a man gives a woman. You know why he gives that to her? Well, here, I'll give this to you, and then maybe one of these days I might marry you. Is that what she's expecting when she gets that engagement ring? No, it says, I pledge myself to you and to you only. And this is a guarantee that I'll go through with everything else. Isn't that what it is? It's a pledge. It's a pledge of security. God gives the earnest.
Yes, sir.
He promised it because the earnest is Himself.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
The Spirit, a promise.
Yes, sir.
He promised to give Himself. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God gives this earnest. Now listen, I want to give you three summarizing statements. And I'm not going to say a lot about them. I want you to, may God give us a mind to lay hold of these things and chew on them and mull over them and suck all the flavor out of the marrow of the bones of it. Three statements. No one trusts the Christ of God until they have heard the truth about the Christ of God. It's just that simple. I don't care how religious they are, how moral they are. I don't even care how much doctrine they believe. No one trusts the Christ of God until they've heard the truth about the Christ of God. Secondly, Christianity is not about changing doctrine or morphing in doctrine. There are those out there that are teaching. Paul just printed me up a couple things by a fellow. He says God saved him many, many years ago, and he was preaching free willism and doing all the free willism works, and then finally God sent somebody to him to kind of correct him and straighten him out. But he's been saved all those years. I'm telling you, that man's wrong. God saved him when he sent that fellow to him to tell him the truth. And God called him out of all that free willism.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
God don't save you by a free will gospel and then teach you the true gospel. It don't happen that way. This is a lie.
Yeah.
Christianity is not about changing doctrine or your doctrine morphing. You either start in the truth or you ain't never started in the truth.
Exactly.
You either start under the truth or you've never even started in the truth. That's why it wasn't long after God began to show me the truth. That's why that place I used to be in told me it's time for you to get out. And thirdly, Christianity is to be converted by and converted to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In true doctrine.
Amen.
Christ said, he that is of God shall know the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or something else.
Exactly.
He'll know.
Amen.
Why? Because God Almighty makes him, having made known unto us the mystery of his will.
Amen.
And you know what? None of it depends on us.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody said, you ever been wrong? Yeah. But God ain't never been wrong.
Amen.
God ain't never been wrong.
Exactly.
And I say this with all the sincerity and the compassion I can muster. If you think that God Almighty saved you by a message that lies about God and lies about man, here's all the sincerity I can muster, you're full of it. That's all the sincerity I can muster. You're wrong. That's why it's so important for us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. If it don't matter, why don't we just, you know, let the Gideons send Bibles out there? Why? Because people can read this Bible and lie. They do it all the time. They'll read this Bible and lie about God. Yes. Lie right from the Bible.
Oh yeah.
Lie about it.
Yep.
Now God help us. Father, teach us these things in more than just doctrine. Teach us these things, but oh God, may it be that they've been true within our hearts and minds and souls. May it be that this is the salvation that we've experienced, the only salvation there is Joe so adequately pointed out to us, Lord, this one and only gospel, the gospel of the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.